Hey everyone, welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus, of course. There's a brief hiatus in the Can I Have My Ball Back tour for half term, but I am back on the 7th of June at the Bloomsbury Theatre, 9th of June at the Leicester Square Theatre. Those are the last two London gigs. We need to sell some tickets for those two. I have to say, the first Leicester Square Theatre gig was fantastic and full, but there are still plenty of tickets for those two London dates, and there will be reviewers coming, so if you are even just thinking about coming to the tour, please consider coming to one of those two gigs. But then I'm on to Cambridge, Leicester, Leeds, the Salford Lowry, Newcastle, which is sold out, Bridport, Ipswich, Swindon, Portsmouth, Basingstoke, Cheltenham, Monmouth, Carlisle, Lancaster, Barnard Castle, Worcester, Shrewsbury, Alton, Frome, Bristol, Sheffield, Guildford, Norwich, sold out, and Andover. RichardHerring.com/ballback/tour for all details. Thanks to everyone who's come so far. It's been really fun doing the show. It's been going pretty well in terms of ticket sales. And it's a good show, I think. So it's lovely to meet you guys after the show. Do come and say hello. Anyway, let's sit back, relax, and enjoy another wonderful podcast from the incredible mind of Richard Keith Herring.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp. As a podcast listener, you've heard from us before. Today, let's hear from our members about what online therapy has done for them.
I would recommend my therapist 1,000 times over. She has truly changed my life.
The day after my first session, my friends and family said I sounded like myself again for the first time in weeks.
You deserve to invest in your well-being. Visit BetterHelp.com to see what it can do for you. That's BetterHelp.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Phoenix Packed Phoenix. Stop shouting out, you people back there. Please welcome a man who's been burned by his 7-year-old daughter. It's Richard Herring. Hello. Hello, my finest friends. Hello. Hello. Welcome to the Phoenix. Welcome to Richard Herring's Let's Support Train Drivers podcast. Yeah. We've got no audience tonight because the trains aren't. It's all because of the trains. It's all because of the trains. But I still support the trains. You've got to support your unions, haven't you? You've got to. It's not their fault. It's the other guy's fault. But I was talking to Dick and Dom the other day. They don't know anything about this podcast. But then I was talking to Sam and Mark, and they call it Ralastapa. So that is, that's good. There's been a lot going on this week. The Champion of Champions Taskmaster is out on the Thursday that's coming up. So no one in this room knows what happens, but you at home know what happened. I can't give anything away. I've been doing quite a lot of PR stuff because of that. So I was on the Ryland show on Radio 2. That's right. I was doing it remotely on Zoom because I had a gig that night. And my daughter was very excited. She likes Radio 2. And so when she heard I was on Radio 2, she said, can I come on the radio with you? And I said, no, because, you know, it'll spoil it. She said, what about when that little girl came on and embarrassed her mum? I could do that to you. And I said, no, I don't want you to do that. And I said, you've got to let me do it on my own, because I could be back in the big time after being on Ryland on Radio 2 in the afternoon. My daughter uncharacteristically said, you're already in the big time. I thought, oh, that's nice. What a lovely. She doesn't really give me many compliments. That was a nice thing to say. And then I think she realised that was too nice. And then she said, the big time of losers. So she got me. Then the next day, we were out and we walked past like a bike that, you know, one of those bikes that has advertising hoardings on it that people, I think, get, you know, also uses to transport people around. She loves cycling on her bike. She said, oh, can I cycle that bike? I said, no, that's someone else's. And I said, that if you cycled that bike around, you would actually get paid for cycling that bike around. That's amazing, isn't it? Imagine getting paid for doing something you like and you would do for free. And I said, it would be like Daddy getting paid for telling jokes. And then I said to her, you know, because Daddy does get paid for telling jokes. That was the joke there. And she said, yeah, people pay you to stop telling them. So that's, you got me twice, two for two. 7 years old. can I do? I was on Sunday brunch as well. It's been a whirlwind. Tim Lovelace. The last hour was really weird. Someone said shit, which was great. Some singer said shit, and they just had to pretend it hadn't happened and then apologise. Then Tim Lovejoy started doing ASMR, which I thought, you know, I just associate with pornography myself. So it was kind of a weird. I don't know. I'm not sure they broadcast the last hour. It got a little bit weird there in the. I'm back in the big time, aren't I? Sunday brunch. Yeah, you get free food. It's good. Very good. Right, we're going to crack on. It's up to fever pitch. can we ramp that up in the, make it sound like 500 people? It's all because of the you know, we still got the money, so all the people have paid, and there's loads more money we've got. My guest today, he's probably best known for playing the taco guy in Catastrophe. Yeah, pretty good credit. Will you please welcome Bill Alzaffer, ladies and gentlemen? Here he is. Here he comes. Come on in. Welcome. Thank you. Take a seat. Ah! I can't get on this.
Ah! Oh, yeah.
But, I can't get on this easily.
This is a problem.
I'm on the seat. I'm up. I've got on. Hi there, Bilal. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to have to get off. No.
This is going to take forever.
I'm doing a bit. Just got to get back on the seat.
Right.
It's a shame we're not filming, isn't it?
Here we go.
I'm on. I got on quite quickly the second time.
It's not that high.
I've got very little legs. Tell us about being in Catastrophe. Did you talk about that? You've been on the podcast before, but only not in person, only over the internet. For a
on
long
Twitch.
Time, you and I only talked over the internet, and then we've met a couple of times.
We weren't allowed to meet.
We weren't allowed to meet.
The taco guy, that was good.
What did you have to do?
I had to say to Rob Delaney, okay, what did I say? I said, he said he wanted some tacos, and then I said something like, I can't remember, but it was basically insinuating that he's had too many tacos.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then I had my way of saying it, and the director was like, no. And then I had to say it completely differently.
Oh, okay.
And then I think I delivered it quite badly. Season 3, episode 5, check it out.
We'll check it out.
Yeah. I think I say it quite badly. Also, yeah. I could have been an extra.
Yeah.
They didn't. It was one line. They paid me too much.
Did it? Did it get broadcast? Was it in the
show?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was integral to the... Integral, in fact, I think is
very
the word
important.
I'm looking for. Or was it integral?
It was integral.
Integral. It's something in mathematics.
I got, I think I told you this the other day, I got £1.20 in royalties for it the other day.
Yeah.
And then my management took a 15% cut of that.
I told you this the other day as well, I got paid 4p for some repeat, literally 4p, and my management, same management, took 1p. And I emailed them back and said, you're only supposed to take 15%. You owe me the next 3-4p checks that come in. I mean, that is, it takes more in admin to take the 1p than they'll get from the 1p. Silly fuckers. So, you're big on Twitch, Bilal, where we chatted on Twitch last time we chatted. And there's lots of things you've done, and I really admire you because you've really taken Twitch to your heart and the internet to your heart and tried some very exciting things. And the most successful one is called Hot Pepsi Football Manager.
Yeah.
Which I find quite confusing. Do you find... I mean, and I think there's a bit about the stuff I do on Twitch. Do you think... Because it becomes such an in thing, and obviously you do it. How many times do you do it? Every...
Once a week now.
Once a week,
but it was three times a week in lockdown.
So it became a big, big thing. Mm-hmm. And then because it becomes such an involved thing, anyone new coming to it, do you feel, is it possible to get to come in as a newcomer and understand what's going on?
Definitely.
Because not if you're 54 years old. <It's not.
laughs> I think there's enough there. I try and explain that if you're here, you're an assistant manager automatically. I think it's fine, right? There's always going to be weird little... in jokes and things, but I try to keep it a little bit, not too niche.
Yeah,
you know, So I think they can.
So what's the idea behind it for right. the newcomers?
Okay, so what it is I play... Even saying that doesn't sound right. There's a game going on. That it's Pro Evolution Soccer from 2005. Now I'm doing the 2006 one. It doesn't matter. But I play the character of the football manager mm-hmm. as I do it. So I wear a suit, which has been tough. It's been hot lately. Yeah. And I do team talks. I sort of voice all the players as well. Press conferences, you know, that sort of thing. Scandals. There's a lot of scandals.
Yeah.
I went to... The most recent thing that's been happening is I got arrested and we had a court case and it was for crimes against football. And I did... What's great about it is that I do little twists in it all the time. It's an actual story. And I did a little thing there where I did actually go to jail. Like, no one expected... In fact, the judge even said, like, not guilty. Oh, no, I read it wrong, guilty. And then I ended the stream just yeah. suddenly as well. And that was really fun. Then I was away for a bit, so a player was running the stream. That's okay, that's quite meta.
Yeah.
That if someone came in and saw that first time, like, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's quite bad, isn't it?
Well, no, because... But also, I mean, I feel the same about my stuff. You know, if you come... to self-playing snooker or yeah. Twitch of fun,
but how do you
it must
get on
be
board?
Pretty confusing for but, the for a little while.
But like, I run a football club and yeah. everything, and people know what that is. You play snooker against yourself.
Yeah.
How do you get on board with that?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think you don't is the thing. And then one by one, the people who watch it die off, and then there's no one watch. You just get to a point where it's the people who are on board.
Yeah.
But anyone who tries to get on board is going, "What the fuck is this? I'm not getting on there." Let's look at the other people who are on board. I'm not getting on that bus.
Exactly. Does that have a big fan base, the snooker?
Well, out of all of them, no. but, you know, that ran for... That was a pre-COVID thing. That's been going yeah. for over 10 years.
That was a podcast first.
Yeah, podcast. And you know, I didn't want to ever film it, really. So the filming came through lockdown, which is against the ethos of self-playing snooker. It's got to be a podcast.
Did you lose a lot of fans?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think with the snooker, it was very much like I'm trying to do a podcast that will have zero listens.
Oh.
And it started, I think, about 30,000 downloads, the first one. And then I got quite quickly down to about 5,000
yeah.
a week.
People but it like, hasn't, is this it?
It hasn't really shrunk much from there. Oh. So, there's at least 3,000 idiots. Wow.
Do you think that's sort of a thing where they don't even admit they watch that?
Yeah.
Because it's too weird.
Well, a lot of them are very proud of them. So Andy McH, he does the scoreboard. Look, there yeah. he is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's there every week. But, yeah, you know, I think what's great about Twitch and the things that you're doing on there, and to some extent that I'm doing on there, is, you know, is it's the creativity of it and the fact that no one's really on there thinking this is going to be a massive comedy show. And, you know, I know there are people on Twitch who are getting hundreds of thousands of people watching stuff, but like the comedy's always going to be quite niche on there, I think.
Oh, yeah. No one, the big, well, it's like this in life, and generally, the most popular people on there are the most boring by far. Just chatting, just very, very dull.
Yeah.
And I thought, when I joined Twitch, I thought loads of people, because literally it's a video game and you're in the corner of the screen, I thought there'd be loads of character stuff.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. Very few people doing that kind of thing, which is weird.
Yeah, it just seemed to me the minute I was on there, this is, you know, most people were doing games, and I did a few games to begin with. I actually did Football Manager to begin with, the original Football Manager from the 1980s.
Oh, nice.
Which is...
It's a bit like what I did, really.
Well, it is, but I didn't think of, like, taking it. I mean, but it's so basic, that football, Kevin Thomas Football Manager. that's what I quite enjoyed.
Who did you manage?
York City, I think, wasn't it? I think it was. Must have been. And
no one knows.
But, you know, it's literally just little stick figures going boop, yeah. and the same thing basically each time. So you had to pretend to be excited about their shots. But you'd realise there are about four different shots and occasionally one would go in. I think there's the scope for it to do other stuff. And you have, you know, you've done this at your acting school of excellence, which I did as well, which was sort of improvised. Mm-hmm. You're pretending you're a fantastic actor from your work in Catastrophe Christmas you were in.
And the murderer one.
Oh, yeah. We do the murder. And the murder one's very... So what's that called?
That's called When Murderers Kill.
Yeah. So that's a YouTube sort of parody of Piers Morgan's thing initially, as it was the idea, which I think is a really strong idea.
Oh, cheers. The true crime stuff is horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me sick, that stuff.
Well, and I watched a bit of before I did it. So it's completely improvised.
Yeah.
I came with a very mild, minor idea of what my character could be, but you had stuff that you had up your sleeve if you needed it. But we basically came up with a load of stuff in 15 minutes.
It's easy, isn't it? And this is the thing. Before, like, lockdown even, well, around that time, I thought improv wasn't for me because I thought it was for posh people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it kind of seems.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, of course we can do it. We're better than the posh ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, it's amazing what comes out. And I think I watched all of those, the serial killer one, and they're all different, and they're all really good. It's a very simple format, but also it's, you know, but that's all it needs to be. So people should check that out. It hasn't had, like, huge number of views.
No one watched it. That's why there was no, like, cheering.
Yeah.
You can edit it. Every time you mention one of my things, you're like, hot Pepsi, complete silence.
But, you know, I think the one we did, I'm really keen to take that idea and do something else with it, because I think it's a really nice idea. My one was that a guy's tried to become a serial killer to get the girls, because that's what all serial killers get, these women obsessing about them. So he tries to just kill people who are nearly dead.
Mm-hmm. The Cheddar Ripper, that's his name. That's it. As the Cheddar Ripper, your story was that you... like a lot of serial killers, he was killing animals when you were a child, but you were blowing up, was it monkey?
What
was
squirrels, it? I think.
Squirrels' heads with little bombs.
to try it out.
And then you put a bomb in a hospital, did you?
Yeah, I think the idea was that I would kill people who were just about to die, so I would go to hospital, and I wanted to kill them in a way that they'd obviously been murdered, otherwise it wouldn't count, but also there'd be pains for them, so I blew their heads off with a small bomb. But the last one, and you only have to do four to become a serial killer, and then he was going to admit he was it, so he could go to prison and get all the girls, all those women who want to have sex with serial killers. And then, but the last one blew up like an oxygen canister and killed like 27 people.
And my favourite bit was that you were all calm, kind of, like a lot of these interviews are, which is, why do they even do that? We don't need to hear from serial killers, you know. But, like, you were all, like, quite calm and quite civil, and then just as the interview's ending, you say, what did you say? Like, you're going to cut my head off or something.
I think I'm going to blow your head off and wank in your neck hole. So it was off, but it was all because it's about, I think, you know, it's the parody of those guys going, I'm a nice guy, why aren't girls interested in me? So I'll show them how nice I am. I'll kill four people, and then they'll like me because I'll be a bit of a bad boy. But I'm going to do it in a nice, humane way. But you know, I think there's something in that idea. But yeah, I think that's exciting just to be trying stuff out. And I know, like as a younger comedian, which you certainly are compared to me, I know it's frustrating if you're doing something great. And I mean, the Football Manager thing's got like a lot of coverage, though, right? In lockdown, that became like a
That's been like the best thing ever for me. But viewers have definitely gone down since lockdown ended. I don't make as much money on there now.
Yeah, you're hoping for another lockdown?
Yeah. I don't have any money. I've spent it all on the Edinburgh Fringe now as well. Right. I don't have any left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mate, hopefully there'll be something and the monkeypox might take over.
You never know.
You never know. Or just no one seems to care about COVID anymore. That's due a comeback.
Yeah.
It's going to come back, isn't it? Come back stronger. Let's hope so. Because, you know, then I can do a snooker tournament again. I loved lockdown. I quite enjoyed it.
I did as well. I mean, did you find it depressing at first?
A little bit, but I was depressed about losing some work at the start.
Yeah. And that was the worst thing that happened.
And I was sort of... I was doing Taskmaster that year, and I was worried that it would fuck that up.
Oh, yeah.
And it sort of changed it. Mm. And, then I got cancer. That was quite good. It was a very happy time for me. Other people died. I didn't mind. Then I looked like I was going to die. I thought, maybe I should have cared a bit more about the people last year. fate's teaching me a lesson. And then, you know, got a book deal out of it. It came out pretty good. It came out pretty sweet. Pretty sweet lockdown.
Yeah, it was great for me, man. Before it was just, I was just doing stand-up, just doing Edinburgh shows. Yeah. And then being told, like, we'll give you a TV show. Actually, no.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And that just kept happening. Yeah. And it just looked like, well, nothing's ever going to happen, you know?
I think it feels even more so these days, I think, for younger comedians. There's so many people doing so much great stuff. And the competition is so huge. And everyone kind of gets into their 30s and they still haven't really, you know, they're still waiting to break through. And they've done maybe 7 or 8 years of comedy and then, you know, it's still going. And I can understand that frustration. But I think it does mean people, if the people who stick with it are creating amazing stuff and hopefully, you know, it's just, will pay good at some, come good at some point.
Just being that creative is so fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just any old nonsense.
And I think when you're young, it's, you know, that you do have the time and the, you know, and the energy to do that. So it's, yeah. It's good. And you know, I watched, which you hadn't done before. We did talk about it last time you were on, the stand-up show you got nominated for the Edinburgh Award for the best newcomer. Mm-hmm. It's called Cakes, right?
Cakes.
Which we did talk about on the last podcast, but it's for free on YouTube, right? So people can watch it for free, which is, I think, a very good idea as well, because I think that will encourage people to come and see you. It's a really funny show. It's about... Do you want to briefly remind us what it's
sure.
about?
So it is about a time when there was a lot of anger on Twitter, boycott Muslim businesses was a thing that was getting a little bit of traction, and my brother joked, because my Twitter name is Zaffer Cakes, he did a tweet. He had kind of an anonymous like football account or something, so you couldn't see who he was. And he said, "You should all boycott Zaffer Cakes, a cake shop in Bristol that refuses to serve non-Muslims." And people were very upset. And I just went along with it because it was funny. That lasted a little while. It was like a few weeks of that.
Yeah.
It was a laugh.
Yeah. Well, it was funny, but also it is quite scary. I would imagine, you know, I've done similar things and found them quite scary when you sort of start poking that hornet's nest of that site, you know, the International Men's Day thing. I'd get some threatening messages from both sides. Actually, I annoyed feminists and anti-feminists equally. That's nice. With that. So that was quite good fun. But it, you know, it is quite scary because you're dealing with, you know, the English Defence League.
Yeah, but like I never felt scared of any of these people,
right?
Because they're just typing stuff online, and they weren't very smart. I mean,
no.
Setting up a petition and stuff for this cake shop in Bristol, it was clearly not real. you know what I mean? That no effort went into making it seem real. I could have done stuff. Yeah. I could have set loads up. I didn't do anything. Just
They're all talking about boycott, you know, because they would boycott this business. But the business already said that I only would serve Muslims, so it wasn't. They were only going along.
Yeah. So I kept telling everyone. I kept saying it's not for you anyway.
There was some very funny. I mean, there's some funny names of people. Mm-hmm. Tweeting you. There is. Well, I've written them down, but I've lost them. EDL Spain. That was an enjoyable. The English Defence League Spain. The anti-Islam frog. You got a lot of messages from.
Yeah, that guy's weird.
Yeah,
he was like on the. He's in some article because the actual guy who runs the anti-Islam frog account. He got in trouble for going in supermarkets and putting stickers on the halal food.
Right.
Saying like it funds terrorism or something, which I don't think it does. How would that work? You know,
there must be better ways to fund terrorism than making the 25p on a
Kickstarter.
Yeah. On a cake as well, especially. And you know, you sort of got that. I enjoyed the woman who claimed she actually knew the real reason why Britain, why the floods were happening. Do you remember this?
This is real, man. I didn't even. So there was flooding a few years ago, and everyone was like, "Oh, climate change," but she said it's not climate change. She said the floods are happening in Britain because our island is sinking because of immigration, right? So she thought there's too many people coming over, and they've made the UK heavy. And it's sinking. Is this real?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, are immigrants heavier than people who are having children? I mean, I suppose the children are light to begin with, and then maybe that somehow that means it balances.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I guess they think it's a lot of immigrants, right?
Yeah.
Like, so many that they just, it's all so heavy.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. It's like, I couldn't even make that up.
No.
It's that good.
I mean, some of it feels like, you know, did you ever think maybe some of these people are doing their own sort of parody account?
And oh, no, you can tell.
But you can tell the difference, yeah.
You can tell, yeah. You look through their likes and stuff and it's very, you know, nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's very bold and it's as a an idea, and I think whether you thought you were brave or not, I think you were pretty brave. I like, there was an image of a guy sort of with like an image of a woman in Muslim dress, the hijab and everything, with a line through it that you used, but he's wearing a mask and a hood at the same time.
He looks like he's wearing a burqa.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
And he's holding a sign up against the... Yeah, yeah. There's loads, man. Yeah. There's loads. They're just really thick, isn't it? It's like, you know. I used to actually, like... You say it's, like, brave. Like, I used to do... I kind of done stuff like this for ages. Like, yeah. I only just remembered recently. Me and my brother, he's a bit older, but when I was... I would have only been about 14 or something. And that's when the BNP were kind of a big thing. And there used to be a BNP chat room.
Right.
And we used to just go on there. You know, I remember one time, and you used to be able to pick your name. And one time, I was Tupac, and he was Biggie. And we got banned so quickly that time. Yeah, so it's like, you know, this stuff is just pretty routine for me, really. Yeah. Winding these people up, it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a perfect Edinburgh show. I can see why you got nominated, but you're also like a fantastic stand-up. You did a stand-up gig for my local my primary school where my kids go. Thank you to Bilal for doing that, and we had a fantastic time on Saturday.
That was fun.
Doing that. There's some really good stand-up in that. You're working on a new show. Was that stuff from the new show, or is
there
the
was
new
some
show?
Small bits from it? I think.
Yeah. So what is the new show?
It's called Care, and it's about when I worked in a care home for a year.
Right.
I think it's good. There's no projector. So I've done three Edinburgh shows with like projectors. Yeah. And I think that people think I'm like a crap Dave Gorman now. So it's just stand-up.
Yeah.
Just storytelling stand-up, which is my favourite. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's pretty good so far.
So where are you on? Because people can come and see you.
Underbelly. The venue's called... Underbelly Bristow Square. And it is at 5:30.
Right. That's good. That's a good time, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happened when you worked in a care home? Whereabouts were you? Was this when you were in...
In Manchester. Yeah. Don't want to be more specific because I slagged the place off a lot. You know? Obviously. Because it was weird. It was like, it wasn't like a little council-run one. It was a big American company has set up loads of care homes in the UK and some people pay like 10 grand a month to stay there. Seriously. And I was on £6.50 an hour.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, quite weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I had a media degree. I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't like a nurse or anything.
Right.
And I had to keep all these people alive with my media degree when I was 21. You know? So, yeah, it's a good, I think there's a lot of, yeah, I think it's a good show, hopefully.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the, is there an angle to it? Is it just the things that happened, or is it about that? Is it about the disparity between the people working there and the people staying there?
Yeah, I guess there's loads of just stories. It's weird, right? It's like, because I was only 21 and then it was my first job and you think everything's fine, you know. And then it's only in hindsight you realise how weird a lot of it was. Like, for example, we had an incentive in the care home and it was that some people would stay on respite where they'd be there for like a couple of months or whatever if they had an operation. Now, if I as a carer was to convince someone on respite to stay in the home for the rest of their life, me and the other carers would all get a go-karting trip. Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to go go-karting? You know?
I think like some money. If you're gonna make this terrible pact with the devil.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd at least get a few hundred
quid. I'm going to hell if I do it. But I get to go go-karting. Yeah, it was like they literally went like, what do poor people like?
Yeah.
You know? Go-karts, probably. Yeah. And what would that cost? Like 50 quid to hire the thing?
Yeah. I mean...
Doesn't quite add up, does
not
it?
Not good, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. Andrew Hunter Murray has just written this book called The Sanctuary, which is about a world where, you know, all the rich people have all the stuff and all the young people, basically. If you don't get rich by the time you're 24, you're just a public servant and, you know, you look after the old people. So it's sort of like in a similar...
It's like that now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it is like that. But, you know, that's what... I mean, increasingly, there's a sort of line, isn't there, between the boomers who've had everything their whole lives and managed to get free education, bought a house for 100 quid and then have everything. And it's impossible for young people to get anywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy agrees.
I need to get on TV so I can afford a flat or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a house. I'm fine. Oh. let's ask you. I've got a new bit section in the back where I've cut out loads of emergency questions from the book and stuck them in. So I can.
You actually cut up the book?
Yeah, cut up one of the books. I've got about 6,000 copies of that orange. So these are from first of all, this one isn't the one I've cut up. I want to ask you this question. I don't think I asked you this before because this is quite new. If you could go, we're like a caterpillar, but you're still you, but you're like a caterpillar, and you can go into a chrysalis and pupate, and you can come out of that chrysalis as anything you want to be, what would you come out of the chrysalis as if you could do that, Bilal?
Hmm.
Someone with a house? I mean, a chrysalis is
a
kind of house, isn't it? You could just stay in the chrysalis.
I think I'm fine just staying there. I could just die in there. And I'd be happy.
That'd be all right.
Yeah.
Quite nice. And it'd be sort of... Is it mould to your shape, Chris? I suppose it does. And then
I don't know.
Then you change into whatever you want to change into. All right, I'll ask you another one. If your genitals had to be replaced by the face of one of the Muppets...
Yeah.
The face would be able to interact and communicate in exactly the same way as the puppet. Which Muppet face would replace your genitals? Please explain your thinking.
Animal.
Yeah, animals.
It's quite exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it really quite exciting?
Yeah, it'd be quite exciting. Yeah. Wouldn't that get annoying with him down? I mean, I don't know whether he would have the sensitivity of your genitals.
Hold on, is he talking like
he does? Yeah, if you listen to... Wait, do you even listen to the question?
Wait, how often...
The face would be able to interact and communicate in exactly the same way as the puppet. So you'd have your genitals, which would be quite sensitive, just in the shape of a Muppet face, going, and banging away and stuff. Okay, fair enough.
That might have its benefits. I don't know.
In a similar vein, if you had to be given oral sex by a dinosaur, if you had to... This is with your genitals, not with the Muppet. Which dinosaur would you like to be mouthed to completion by?
What's the one in Land Before Time? The what's the main...
I don't know.
Vegetarian. You want a vegetarian, right?
You want a vegetarian one, what? So it doesn't eat it. If you're making a vegetarian eat your gametes, that is against their...
Yeah, exactly, so they're not...
If they're vegetarian, they probably would.
They're not eating it.
Well, they would. They're mouthing you. They're eating whatever comes
when
out.
When you wrote this question, was it always in your mind that they eat it?
They're not going to eat your genitals. They're going to eat your sperm, though, right?
Oh.
So that's fine. If they were vegan, that would be a problem. But if they're vegetarian, that's okay. It's just like honey. A vegetarian would eat honey. But a vegan wouldn't eat honey. That is the same thing. So one of the what's the Land Before Time? Is it a cartoon, the Land Before Time?
Yeah.
You want a cartoon dinosaur to nosh you?
Ideally. I mean, that would be better than the real thing, right? That's...
I don't know. I think it's a great opportunity to, interact with a dinosaur from prehistory.
It's a great opportunity.
You just choose a cartoon. Seems a waste to me. I accidentally elbowed Denise Van Outen in the face on Channel 5 Celebrity Game Night.
Yeah.
That's right, my career's going well. What is the worst injury you've directly or indirectly caused to a celebrity or person of renown? The worst injury to the most famous person scores the most points. Have you ever hurt a celebrity? Or,
I don't know as many celebrities as you.
Well, I don't know that many. I just was on a TV show with Denise Van Outen and I elbowed her in the face.
Yeah, but I don't go on Channel 5. What was it called?
Celebrity Game Night.
Celebrity Game Night.
They got you really drunk, right? There was free drink and there was a bar that you were encouraged to go to during the show. And then they did sort of stuff where you had to chase around with... I can't even remember what the game was, but it was quite an active game. And it was, when I was on that show, I thought someone is going to get killed on this show. Because they were getting everyone really drunk and doing really stupid things.
Yeah.
And it was quite, it was sort of like a knockoff of Richard Osman, really. House of Games kind of thing.
Did you get paid well?
I don't think it got paid all that well. I mean, compared to any normal job, yes. But compared to a TV job, no.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I elbowed my media studies teacher by accident.
Did you?
And that was I feel really bad about that still. Yeah. properly bang, you know.
I kicked my home economics teacher, who was an elderly lady called Mrs. Lees. She's probably not with us anymore because this was...
Because of the kick.
This was... It was 45 years ago. So I think she's probably gone because she seemed elderly at the time, but she was probably about 35. Yeah. But she seemed elderly. Me and Miles Stuckey had been fighting over something, you know, old Miles Stuckey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Styles Mucky, we used to call him.
Mm.
It's a spoonerism. And then he'd kicked me, I think, and I was trying to kick him back. And he ran out of the room, and so I was waiting for him to come back in the room. But he cleverly came back in the room behind Mrs. Oh. Lees. And I was ready to go, and I just kicked her in the leg. And I was
really...
Yeah, quite hard. And she was an old lady, and I had to go and see the headmaster and stuff.
Did you get, like... how much trouble did you get in?
Not much.
Oh.
I had to go back and apologise to Mrs. Lees, yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. Getting a kick an old lady.
Killed her.
It's only in the leg. It was fine.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I watched Sliding Doors...
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. Now, I'd seen it before.
Yeah.
I thought it wasn't that bad the first time I watched it, yeah. I guess.
Have I spoiled it for you?
No. I mean, oh, my God. Right, the stuff that you usually bring up is how stupid it is, the concept, right?
Yeah.
And then what's the other thing? The way the guy is always doing Monty Python bits.
Well, the Monty Python guy, I don't think it's an accurate representation of what would happen in alternate universes. In one universe, this is quite important. I think, like... Well, if you change one thing, the whole point of it is everything changes, right?
Mm.
And so in one thing, she gets on the train and she's with John Hannah's on the train, and one she's not. But both versions, John Hannah turns up at the bar exactly the same time that night. Mm. Now, if he'd interacted with her earlier on, that would have changed his day as well.
And why? So what would he have done?
Well, just because if every interaction, if you go out 30 seconds later than you would have gone out, you meet different people, you bump into it, you get into other people's way, that affects their day, that affects the day of everyone they meet, and then everything gets changed, right? It's not like the Truman Show, where everyone's just operating on, you know, whatever's going to happen. Mm. In real life, you could go out 30, 20 seconds earlier and meet somebody completely different, marry them and have a child with them, and then the world's completely different. That's a big difference, but even a small difference. If you met John Hannah on a train and talked to him, he would be 3 minutes later for the even if he was planning to go to the bar, he probably wouldn't turn up at exactly the same time saying exactly the same stuff.
Okay.
He's not an automaton. He's a human being.
Do you remember what he says to her, what the first conversation they have is?
No.
When he's, like, chatting her up on the train a bit. This is what he says. So he's like a funny guy, that character, right? And that's kind of why she likes him, right? He says, so there's a guy sitting near them listening to either the Beatles or someone who's copying the Beatles or whatever. And he says to Gwyneth Paltrow, he starts talking to her about the Beatles. She doesn't want to talk about it. And he says, oh, come on, you know the Beatles. Everyone learns about the Beatles, something like this. Everyone learns about the Beatles even before they were born. Even when you're in the fetus, it kind of goes in. They should be called the fetals. I swear to God, he says that. What the hell is that? Did they not do a second draft? Isn't that really bad? Isn't that shocking?
Yeah, and I think if someone said that to you on a train, you would say, yeah,
I'm not going to
go out with them again.
No.
That's a bit weird.
He said that's his own material, and then later on he's just quoting Monty Python.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He is.
That's why bother doing your own stuff?
And also, one more thing.
Yeah.
The guy that... Gwyneth Paltrow's guy who cheats on her, right?
Yeah.
He's with Gwyneth Paltrow and that other woman, right? Do you know what he does for a living?
No.
He's, like, unemployed. Why do they all love him so much? He's writing a book.
Yeah.
But he's unpublished and he's pathetic and he's at home all the time. He doesn't even have... Both the guys are pathetic in that film.
Yeah, they are.
That's my
problem. Women like
pathetic
guys. That's why you have to become a serial killer and kill people to get girls. They like pathetic guys. The other worst thing about Sliding Doors is that it's not even Sliding Doors. It's what the thing that changes her life is that there's a girl on the stairs with a doll, and one she drops the doll and one she doesn't drop the doll, and so she gets in the way and that stops her getting in. So it should be called Girl with a Doll on the Stairs. Dropping a doll or not dropping a doll.
I noticed that as well. And why did that happen? Why in one reality does she not drop it? It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good film.
Yeah. Sliding Doors.
I paid like £3 to watch it.
Oh, did you?
Prime.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm amazed it's not free.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp. As a podcast listener, you've heard from us before. Today, let's hear from our members about what online therapy has done for them.
I would recommend my therapist 1,000 times over. She has truly changed my life.
The day after my first session, my friends and family said I sounded like myself again for the first time in weeks.
You deserve to invest in your well-being. Visit BetterHelp.com to see what it can do for you. That's better, H-E-L-P.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, I'm going to do one more emergency question. What would it take for you to fellate the actor Keith Allen? No, I haven't asked that for a while. Got some of the classics down here.
I'd like to go on QI.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you think he could get you on QI?
Probably.
He could say, it's me, Keith Allen. If you suck me off, I'll get you on QI. That's exactly the kind of thing he'd do. You'd suck it and go, okay.
Gee, that's
and
been
there
happening.
You go. I can't get you on QI. I've not connected with QI at all. I probably work with Stephen Fry, but I bet he doesn't like me because I'm a cunt. I tricked you. Does it all the time.
Is that what he's been doing?
Yeah, it does.
I had a comedian say to me recently, he was like... I'm quite bitter that I've not had any TV gigs because it's like it's a lot of money partly, and you know, and he told me he was gonna go on, Have I Got News for You or something for the fourth time. He was like, ah, you know, they really like me, I don't know, and he said, but I'd love to do something like you with the Twitch stuff. I was like, oh, cheers.
And did you say you could easily do that?
Anyone. Anyone could do it.
Just do it, go on Twitch and do it. I'd love to do it. I can't do it because I'm really too busy with all my TV
things. TV work, yeah, exactly.
Have I Got News for You would just stop ringing me up and asking me to be on again this week.
Yeah,
four times is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I've done it twice.
Yeah?
Yeah, in 2010 and 2011.
Oh, man. I would kill someone to be on it once.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Okay. Who would you like to kill to be on?
Keith Allen.
Again, I don't think he's got any connections there that will help. Though maybe people would surprise you and do that. I wanted to ask you this. Are you ever mistaken for the Pakistan Army officer, Bill Al-Zafar?
Well, interestingly.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the most famous guy with my name. I think he died fighting the Taliban or something.
I think
he's considered like a hero, right? Some Facebook page was set up. Some like Muslim, like, I don't know. There's all these things like where it's like, oh, look, everyone, we're not that bad kind of Muslim groups. I'm like, just don't bother, you know. It was one of those accounts, one of those things on Facebook, did a thing where it was a quote from me and it said my name, but it was a picture of him. And he's wearing an army uniform. It's like, what do they think I do? Do they think I do like an army character comedian guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's happened, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a hero. He's a hero.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah. Mm. It's a sliding doors, isn't it? Could have been you.
I don't think you understood sliding doors.
If you'd both been running to get on a train and you'd missed it and he got on, and then when he was on the train they said, do you want to be in the Pakistan Army, and he went, yeah, that could have been you.
Oh yeah,
sliding doors.
Who's that on the train? Who's recruiting on the underground?
I don't know. I haven't thought it through that far yet, but we'll see. You were talking about doing gigs for interfaith groups at the gig we did together, and also in your special, in fact.
Yeah.
Does that come up a lot? Do you do? Is that all true? It has to be true.
Yeah, that's true. That stuff. Yeah. Yeah. So I've done a lot of like gigs. Yeah, weird kind of gigs for the money, really. You know, I wasn't making much of it. It's quite hard. Like, just doing club gigs and stuff is, I think people don't realize, it doesn't always pay that well, you know. So there's all these events. Like, I did one, for a Christian. I can't remember what it was, but 200 vicars in the audience. Yeah, I did that. I did a load of, there's all these, like, Muslim charity gigs, which I've done a lot of, which absolutely made me depressed. It's like, they're basically, it's weird. They're like fundraising events and it's like kind of a family audience. And the problem with me is that the way I do comedy, it's like I talk like this. It's kind of monotone, right? So they just think I can't do comedy. You know what I mean? Yeah.
What I liked about the gig you did for my primary school, mm-hmm. kids' primary school, is that it wasn't primary school kids in the audience. But it was very relaxed, and you were, you know, and I think it's quite commanding to be that relaxed and that quiet, and you were doing the thing that sometimes people do when they are out of their depth and sort of doing that kind of internal monologue. But you seemed very in control of it, so it was actually kind of quite hypnotic, and I think it was quite a good technique to be. Quite reserved, but also in control.
It's nice, man. Like, my whole life, because of how I speak and my general demeanor, people are always like, cheer up. What's wrong? When nothing's wrong. Like, literally, teachers and then jobs I had, they're always like, you need to answer the phone and sound happier. That was always a thing. And then with stand-up, though, everyone's like, oh, he's so wry, I'm like, am I? Fine, I'll take it. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I think it is... I understand the... And it took, funny enough, Sean, who's on next week, I think there's a sort of similar vein running through it because when you start as a comedian, you look at the big stars and you think, I would love to have that. Mm-hmm. And I think if you... I'd love to just be doing Twitch stuff like you are. It's about more than that, and it's about doing good stuff. And I think it can be, you can be discovered too soon, and it's a disaster. And you can, mm-hmm. You're not ready for it. And I think by doing all this stuff yourself, you're in a position when, and I think it will be, it will happen. When it happens, mm-hmm. you'll be ready to go, rather than, oh God, I don't know what to do, or what should I do next? You can choose a different stuff. Because you were talking to me about doing the Football Manager stuff being. On TV and them kind of coming up with different ideas.
Yeah.
And that, that the point is you've created something that works and then they don't need to, it's no good someone else going, have you thought about doing it? Not about football. about something, It doesn't need another input because you're in control of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, you really cheered me up. I was really depressed when I got to that gig the other day. I'm under a lot of pressure with the Edinburgh stuff as well, I guess. I guess that just happens, It's a big deal, very expensive as well.
Yeah, it's a really tough time, this couple of months before Edinburgh, any comedian will be stressed out by what.
So I had a preview the night before, I won't say where, and I didn't have a tech turn up. And the audience had also been let in before me, so I couldn't even check the mic, and none of it worked. It was like a complete disaster. It just made me depressed, right? And then the next day, I didn't sleep much, and on my way to you, got the train to, I won't say where, but I got the train, and then I got picked up from there. But like when I was leaving the station, I went to do the ticket thing, and a woman like quite aggressively pushed in front of me. And I just looked at her and she said, yeah, well, you pushed in front of me first, mate, so F off. But I hadn't. Like, there was no, there was no cue or anything before. And I was like, oh, okay, that's where Herring lives. And then got you sorted out a cab to the gig. I had a bottle of water in my bag. It leaked. It possibly water damaged my laptop. But it's completely soaked my ass, right? So then when I came in to meet you, I was freezing cold. I was like shaking because my buns were completely, right? And I thought, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, right? But then the gig was okay and I was like, okay, life is okay, to be fair.
It's so pathetic. I hadn't done stand-up for like 4 years really properly, like a proper gig. Maybe 3 years since I last did one in the Village. And I was really nervous about going back and trying to do a set. And then, like, you go on stage and get... And I thought, you know, also, there's no... When you're doing just to other parents, A, if I die, I've got to see them every day for the next 6 years, first thing in the morning.
Yeah. I was surprised you were doing it.
And B, you know, they might just, you know... And I made a joke that my wife said, don't do this one early. And I say, and I did do it early, which was, it's me, the kind of really old man you see who's really scruffy, who you see shambling across the playground every morning. You think he's too old to have kids at this school. Should I be ringing the police? And don't worry, everyone, it's okay. Look, I'm in show business. Your kids are safe. And luckily they liked that. So, I wasn't nervous on the night, but I just thought, you know, oh, this could be terrible. And I just did, you know, the first couple of jokes went really well, and you kind of go, oh, this is brilliant. And I was just so full of that horrible adrenaline confidence you get from being a stand-up. But imagine, and I felt like a god again, you know.
Imagine if it went bad. I know. What would? Because they wouldn't come to the next one. So that's it.
Yeah.
They just hate you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a risk. It was a big risk. And it was just weird going back and doing stand-up. Because even though I do, like, you know, what laughably would be called stand-up at the start of this, it's still not the same. You know, still, even though I've been performing, it's still like a long time to have gone without doing a proper stand-up gig. So it was, it's a weird thing. But yeah, and equally for you guys, it could have been a disaster. So it's,
but
it's
nice
as well.
I don't have to see these parents
anymore.
No,
you don't.
I'm out. I'm never going back there.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, you know, but it's pathetic that lifted your spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pathetic. You had a horrible time, a horrible gig, and then you have one gig. Oh, yeah, this is fine. I'm off again. And that's the pathetic life of the stand-up comedy. I'm not just saying you, all of us. All of we stand-up comedians.
Constantly up and down.
Yeah. Mm. It is, but it is interesting to go. And, you know, I'm going back to Edinburgh, you're going to Edinburgh, and there's this very stressful situation where increasingly, I thought lockdown might mean the prices came down again this year after the people of Edinburgh had learned their lesson and been punished for charging too much. But accommodation's gone way up more than it was 3 years ago. You know, it's so expensive to go up. And so you're worrying about that. You're worrying about getting an audience. And yet we keep going, you know, this is what your fourth Edinburgh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you keep going back. It's my 26th Edinburgh. You know, is it the love of creating the show? Is it the hope of having that show that will go over there? I mean, because your first show was award nominated, so that's
well, it definitely helps having that to work towards.
Yeah,
because even in the last few months, I've written way more than I would have because the pressure's on. I had it. So in 2016, I was 24 years old and I wasn't expecting any. I honestly didn't know about that newcomer stuff and all of that. No one had told me. And then it all happened. And then you get a taste of that.
Yeah.
You know, people start writing about you like in The Independent saying, oh, he should be on Radio 4. And you go, oh, my God, me. You know,
you won't get any money on Radio 4. Though,
I know.
If that's what you're hoping for.
I've experienced that. Yeah. It's crushing.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of that, but I'm a bit more mature. Like, because when I went back for the second show after, like, all these reviewers were like, can't wait to see what he does next, and then none of them came.
Right.
So I had all of that. I was miserable about that. And now that's kind of got, I just want to do, you know, Twitch has helped as well, like having my own audience a little bit as well, which I didn't really have before.
It's in Europe, but I mean, it's good that people still go back. But I wonder where, you know, that's sort of the problem, isn't that comedians will always go back. I think enough comedians will go back that those things won't change.
It's like that with everything. Yeah, like, you know, for me, I was able to afford it because of Twitch over lockdown. I made a bit of money for the first time, really, as an adult. I had like a bit of money spare, you know, and I was able to afford it. But yeah, if I moaned about it, like, oh, I can't afford, like, nothing's going to change. No one cares. Someone else will take that venue, right?
You know?
I don't know what's going to happen. I mean,
it's, you know, there's lots good about Edinburgh and, you know, that, and I think just the having to create something and doing it 26 times is fantastic. And there is, you know, there are payoffs. It's a gamble that everyone's taking. Where it depends what the payoff you want is. Mm. If you're just happy to create something good and
want to be on QI.
Yeah, QI. Yeah. You should be able to get on QI.
How?
I don't know. I've never been on QI, so I'm not the first. I know the QI elves. So I can ask them. I
mean, please.
But they won't. They want me to go on, and they can't get me on, so they're probably no good.
Oh.
I don't know how you get on.
Get me on a Channel 5 thing.
Okay, I'll get you on. I'll get you on Celebrity Game Night. Yeah. And then you can hit someone in the face. Yeah. Then we've got an answer for that next time. Let me see what else I've got up my sleeve. In emergency questions. I haven't asked emergency questions much.
Yeah.
Recently, I think it's good. It's what makes what makes this podcast stand out from the crowd. If you had a silo, what would you store in it? That's the kind of thing that makes this stand out from the crowd. No one
What's
else
a silo?
Else. It's like a big. Usually, people keep grain in it. It's a way of storing food. You know, like a large.
Okay.
Canister.
I would keep. You know, Cocoa Pops. Like right at the bottom, you get the dust.
Oh yeah.
Best stuff. I would keep that in there.
I'm obsessed, and I've talked about this recently. I'm obsessed with the dust at the bottom of salt and vinegar peanuts, KP. If you're listening,
strong though, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I honestly could eat. It's monosodium glutamate, apparently, mainly. But I could eat. I like salt and vinegar. It's my favourite thing. In a way, eating the nuts is a bit too much. There's a bit too much nut in there.
Oh.
I like the salt and vinegar flavour. What is great is just having like the dust with an occasional little fragment of peanut. So right. You get. What I would like is just a kilo of that. I'd like them to sell that in a kilo form. You could have crunchy and you could have smooth. So you could have one with like...
Or like a drug, like in a little like weed bag.
Yeah, do that. And I would literally... I could eat... But I could eat...
Yeah.
My favourite thing is what I do, I get like six bags of the peanuts, put them in a big glass jar, eat them, and then when you get to the bottom of the glass jar, you've got six packs worth of that stuff. And then you eat that. And that's the happiest I've ever been in my life since I turned 40, since I got married.
Would you just, like, pour some vinegar in a glass and some salt in there and down it?
I don't think it would be the same. You know, I would do that.
It sounds like
I
would be the vinegar, same.
But it wouldn't be the same because I like the fact that it's not wet.
Okay.
I like the dryness of it.
Yeah.
And they could call it just dust. That's what I'd call it.
Just dust.
KP, just dust.
That's like one of the ideas they'd have on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
I
think it would really work, and people would. I think it would probably be quite unhealthy.
Yeah.
And they probably aren't allowed to do it for that reason, because it would kill people.
No, you can do it. You just can't put a cartoon character on it.
Okay.
So kids don't buy it.
Okay. That's what I do. So I'm glad you like Cocoa Pop. How old are you? 30?
30.
30.
To be honest, I don't eat cereal anymore.
Okay. Just the dust.
Just the dust, yeah.
Just dust.
Snort it.
But that was a silo. That imagine having a silo. That's
yeah.
really big.
How big is a silo?
Really big.
Right.
You could put a lot of grain. Imagine a load of grain.
Yeah.
Imagine Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Mm-hmm.
7 years of grain. That's what's in the silo. Probably a year's worth in the silo.
Yeah.
Each side of the seven silos. My chair's really squeaking. Is it putting you off?
It's not putting me off.
I'm just worried if it's going to... Is it coming out? Yeah, but it won't help with this podcast, will it? People are at home going, ugh. I've been listening to an audio book where the man has like goes shh, shh. Every time he says an S goes shh.
Oh my gosh.
And because it's not just the whistle, it's just every time. And then he gets to the sentence with about seven S's, isn't it? And you think, oh, it's all right, it's gone. It's only not going to happen. It's got a lovely speaking voice apart from that. And I kind of think, shouldn't his producer have said, can we just retake that without the... Shh?
No, but
I think he just got the point,
right?
Where, oh, he's fucking doing it again. It's going to take forever.
But you can't stop it.
It's I mean, like he doesn't do it every single time, but it like it's that, you know, a lot of them are that bad and some of them just... Some of that. Some of them... And the whole book's about whistling as well, so it's just... It's how to whistle.
How to whistle, that's what you're listening to.
So it's a lot of whistling and then, but never, never. Very annoying. So sorry to everyone who's been annoyed by my chair.
Stop. Okay. Mine's okay.
Bilal, yeah. How many members of Blazing Squad can you name?
Okay. Winston?
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
Gregory.
Gregory's probably in there. Yeah.
Arthur.
Yeah,
I'm three.
Yeah. I'm not sure about them. I'm not sure those are real ones. I don't know, so I'm not sure.
You don't know any of them?
Don't know. I don't know. I can't name a single one from Blazing Squad.
How many are there?
I think there's probably one called Prof. The clever one's from Prof. There's probably one called Blades. I bet he goes on roller skates.
Blades?
Yeah. One called Rap.
Rap. Yeah.
Ian Rap.
Yeah.
The rapping rapper.
It's probably like one that likes cricket.
Yeah.
Who wears pads and stuff.
I wonder what happened to Blazing Squad. There was a lot of them, weren't there?
Yeah, I swear was there like 10 or like 8?
I think there might have been like 30 of them.
Was there?
Yeah, it was
10. I think it was more than 10.
Oh, you Googled. What are their names?
Kenzie.
Oh, Kenzie from Blazing Squad.
Freak.
Should have guessed that.
We should have got that.
Yeah.
Rocky B.
Is there another Rocky? Is there going to be Rocky B and Rocky? Why has he got the B on there? Just call yourself Rocky, mate. You're not there to Spice Girls. Rocky B and Rocky G.
Melody.
Is it from the Spice Girls? Oh, Melody. Good. Yes, clever.
Reaper.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy with a K.
Oh, that is crazy.
Spike E.
Yeah. Sounds like more. You've done more than 10.
Tommy B and Strider.
Strider. Can't ask that again now. I know the answer. There are 10 members of Blazing Squad. I won't remember any of them. What do you think they're called?
Freak.
Did any future celebrities go to your school? Where did you go to school, Bilal?
Wanstead High School.
Oh, that's right. How was Wanstead like?
I mean, I didn't like it, but I didn't really like school.
Okay.
It was quite a big school, a little bit rough sometimes.
Yeah.
We do have a good celebrity. Ronnie O'Sullivan.
That is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before my time. And also, so it's Ronnie O'Sullivan, someone who's a footballer's wife, I think Joe Cole's wife.
Okay.
And I'm on, someone put me on the Wikipedia.
Well, of course.
So it's all raw talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to put my glasses on for the second. Did any siblings of celebrities teach at your school?
No, but
what?
But this was always rumoured. Peter Andre's brother owned like a salon on the high street there.
Okay. It was rumoured.
Well, I don't know. I mean, everyone just said that all the time. Oh, it's Peter Andre's brother. Don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been a lie.
Could have been.
Yeah.
Rick Buckler's brother taught at my school.
Who's that?
Yeah, exactly. He's the drummer in the Jam, mate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And he played our school, Rick Buckler, not with the Jam, with Time UK. And I'm sure I was there, but I checked my diary from when I was a kid and I didn't go.
Oh.
So I've got a false memory of seeing Time UK in our school.
Huh? And what's the false memory? Is it like you get up on stage and start singing?
I really remember that. I really feel like and I think I've even asked him and said, "What was your first gig?" And I say, "I saw Time UK in the King's of Wessex School Hall."
Oh.
But nearly the only gig I've ever been to.
Yeah.
I haven't been to it. Wasn't there. Wasn't very good, though, apparently.
There's a Netflix Explained about memories. All these kids thought they were, like, right near 9/11, but they weren't.
Oh, really?
They're in different cities.
Right.
Hmm. Sorry for bringing that up.
Did someone say you weren't there, though?
Yeah, I think their parents were like, no.
That's interesting. Well, you know, we watched it on the telly, didn't we?
We did.
What about this? I'm not sure I've ever asked this question. Which toy did you... It's question 393 in the original book. It's been cut out and put in the NL. Like a serial killer would. Which toy did you always want for Christmas but never received?
That's a good question. I think probably like a Power Ranger.
Okay.
Maybe the green one. The white. There was a twist.
Right.
Where the Green Ranger turned out to be the White Ranger all along.
Okay.
Because he was never there and the White Ranger turned up.
Okay. When you were an adult, did you buy it for yourself? And if so, was it as good as you hoped? Have you?
No, I don't really do that. Actually, I did at uni. Off eBay. There were the Power Rangers where you press the belt and it flips round, so it's like a human face and it flips and it's the mask thing, the helmet. And I bought a couple of those, and then I was like, oh no, I'm, you know, like 20 years old now. It's not.
But then when you get a bit older, it's cool again, right?
Is it?
My what? No, it isn't. It's ridiculous. My wife bought me. I really was obsessed with having Scare Electric, which I in the end my sister bought me like a cheap knockoff one, and she was like when she was about 17, so it was, you know, she didn't have much money, so she bought me like a really cheap Scare Electric, which I liked. But then my wife bought me some Scare Electric after me going on about it a lot. Rubbish. Absolutely pathetic. It's childish. Absolutely childish rubbish.
Was it how you expected it to be?
No, I mean, I'd played it, so I'd been around at other kids' houses and played it, but we weren't, you know.
How do you do it? Like, the only time I've done it was at some like school fair. But do you have to like take your hand? Is it like less pressure around the bends and stuff?
Yeah, of course. Otherwise, right, you're going to fly off, man.
Okay.
Haven't you ever been motor racing? If you just keep going fast, you fly off. And then someone has to pick up the car and put you back on and make sure the little tag goes in the proper hole.
It does sound a bit fun.
Yeah, I thought it'd be the advert made it look really fun. You can beat the clock when the others stop. You can beat the clock, but you can't beat Scare Electric. Remember that advert? She wouldn't have been born.
Yeah, I'm
trying to remember. That was the end of it. You can drive a car round a track.
Is that how it went?
No.
Has anyone seen that advert? I don't think.
You can when I can't remember the other car. Stuff. You pretend you're in a motor racing race, but you're not. You're just holding a thing in your hand, and there's a small car on a track. You need a battery or to plug it in. I'm not sure. I haven't checked. They had all like lights, and you could time it. You could beat the clock, and there was TCR where you could change lanes. Remember TCR? Total Control Racing. It was Total Control Racing. Don't remember the advert for that. Good. Anything else coming up for you? You could do any more? I think you're a very good actor.
Thanks.
And a very good improviser. Is there any more taco parts coming up?
I'm trying really hard, man. I get some good auditions.
Yeah.
And I try my best. It takes ages, man.
It's very hard doing. You've chosen very hard things to do, you know, be successful at.
I have, yeah, I realise that now, yeah.
But you'll be all right, you'll probably be all right.
I hope so. I'd like some more. The Pin, do you know The Pin?
Yeah.
They've done a little thing, which I did a small acting part in, which was very nice.
Good.
But yeah, I'm going to try and get more. The aim is do Edinburgh, have the Independent say this guy should be on Radio 4, and then get on QI.
Yeah.
And
The QI people probably listen to this show.
Yeah.
And probably what works is someone just going, I really want to be on QI. It hasn't worked for me when I've had Stephen Fry or John Lloyd or any of the QI people on, though. Say, I'd be really good on QI. No.
Stephen Fry.
But, you know, see, like, being a white middle-aged man, I'm the minority now. So, if there's... they wouldn't have me on, so...
I wish that stuff worked in my favour. I wish they'd get you off everything and you've been replaced.
Yeah, we'll see.
Woke. QI has gone woke.
It all has. Well, look, it's lovely to talk to you again. And everyone should check out... Zaffa Cakes on Twitch, right?
Yeah.
If you know what Twitch is, you know, because you've watched me. So if if I can do it, if you can watch me, you can watch anyone, the old people and my audience. It's cool, isn't it, being on Twitch?
It's cool.
Does everyone think... when you're on Twitch and I'm not on, is everyone going, it's really cool. Isn't Rich cool? He's 54 and he's not. He's on Twitch. He's really cool. I hope I'm like him.
They were all saying that.
Wish we could all be like Rich Terry.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great. And you're a fantastic stand-up comedian and everything's going to go very well for you, I promise.
Oh, thanks.
But, you're going to have to endure a few more years of like Joseph and the Technicolor Dream. Oh, no, he had 7 good years first, didn't he? Yeah, that's what happened to me.
Man.
I had 7 good years.
I don't watch that stuff.
I had 7 good years and then 7 bad years.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's what happened to me. And I didn't prepare. Unlike Joseph, I didn't prepare some silos of jokes to get me through the 7.
Does he have silos?
I think he probably, Joseph, we went to the Pharaoh. He said, The pharaoh comes and goes, I was running real long by the bay when I said that cows jumped out of the now. I really wanted to do that part. And then seven of the cows came out of the water. They were tottering. They were skinny and foul. That'd have been good when I in that. Think they'll bring that back, Joseph from the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Is that what that was?
You could be Joseph. Oh, Pharaoh, what you gonna do? I don't know.
We could do it. Do a Kickstarter. Do we do it?
Let's just do. I'll tell you what. I'll do a Kickstarter to do Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. But neither of us allowed to look up any more than we know. And we've got to try and do the whole thing from the start. Just you and me.
Yeah.
We've got to be the brothers. But I'd love to be good. We've got to do the whole thing. Story from the start. I'll leave most of it because I can remember a little bit of it.
I don't really
and
know.
And then when we get to the fair a bit, I can almost do that whole song.
Okay. How long is it?
It's not that long. It's only about an hour.
Well, I could do that, yeah.
Do an hour. Yeah. We're probably getting some copyright issues.
Yeah.
But mind you, maybe not.
Probably not.
Because it'd be so far away. If you just, if you get like a little bit of the tune right.
Are you allowed to call a show like the title of something else and then it's just nothing to do with it?
Yeah,
legally?
I think so. I think we say Richard Bilal's Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they can get us for that, right? No, I shouldn't think so, because they're rich. It's very different. Richard and Bilal in Andrew Lloyd's Webber Hertz. Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah.
And then we put it, let's hire a big theatre, like in the West End. We probably sell quite a lot of tickets just on the name. The people who thought it was the real one.
When you say the West End, what?
Like
this, or?
No, not like proper West End. Like a 1,000-seater theatre. Oh. And charged like 50 quid a ticket.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'll get some costumes. Yeah. We'll just improvise it like we improvised that serial killer thing. That did all right.
Yeah.
How many people watched that?
7,000 or 8,000.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. So if they all come, that's a week's worth of tickets sold.
Okay.
I think I'm going to work on it.
Is it a matinee?
I closed my eyes, drew back the curtain. Yeah, I know loads of it. I reckon I could do it. I reckon we could together. I think we could work it out, even though you don't know anything about it.
But I'm not allowed to look it up.
No, we can't listen to it or look it up. We watched it quite a lot in lockdown. It was free and locked. Anyone's watching it in lockdown? It's a really good one. And one of the guys playing one of the brothers really made me laugh. Can't remember which one he was now.
No one's seen this thing.
Joseph and the Technicolor Dream. They all know it.
I don't think they do.
They do.
They knew that song, but then that was on the Jubilee, wasn't it?
Was it?
They did that. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think how it begins. Let's just think how we've ended the podcast now. This is just workshopping. This isn't going to go out.
Okay.
We're just workshopping how it starts now. Can't remember how it starts.
How does it start?
Long, long times, many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began, Noah was a man in the land of Israel, a fine example of a family man. Jacob and sons, there was loads of sons, and Jacob. It's Sean Walsh, right? Because he might go home if he sees this. ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause for Bilal Zappa. We'll be back next week with Sean Walsh. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Bilal Zappa. Thank you to Scant Regard. They do the music for the credits. I'm also indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. I'm indebted to George, the incompetent sound man. I'm also indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, who does a lot of work and doesn't ever want anything in return apart from some money sometimes. And just the joy of spreading joy to you people out there in the world. I would like to thank everyone at the Phoenix, both the audience who got through a train strike and to give us someone to perform to, but also the staff and managers of the fantastic Phoenix Pub on Cavendish Square. Why not go and have a drink and some food there? It's lovely. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I am Dori Shafrir, the co-host of the podcast Forever 35, which is all about the things we do to take care of ourselves. And starting next week, we have a new co-host.
It's me. I'm Elise Hugh. I am an author, journalist, and a podcaster.
Yay! Elise and I are going to be getting into a lot of the same topics that we've always talked about on Forever 35, like skincare, like getting older, and of course, Forever 35 faves like butt care and Costco.
She said Costco.
I said it.
I'm so excited to be coming along on this journey.
I am so excited to have you. So listen to Forever 35 wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/ballback/tour for all your ballback needs. GoFasterStrike.com for all your download needs. Do keep listening to the podcasts. Do recommend them to your friends. We have some real crackers coming up. I can tell you that because they're all recorded and in the can. So I hope you will enjoy them and hope to see you at a gig. Bye.